Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Man on the Mic. I'm your host, Jeff. Hey, I'm joined by my buddy, Jace. I'll have him give you the story kind of about himself and how we got connected, and then we'll go from there.
I mean, I think we go way back, you know, way back.
2 weeks.
two weeks. Well, I saw a guy in the gym. I think at the time we both, I followed you on Instagram. I'm like, hey, love this guy's content. My guy's also a unit. Okay. So I just remember I just tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, love the content. Keep it going. And then I remember afterwards too, I was like packing up my stuff, leaving, and you kind of came in and honestly, like, you kind of came in hot. Like, I was like, oh, is this like what's going on? And you're just like, looked at me and you kind of just walked out. And then later we got a DM and I'm like, okay, like, we're cool. Like, it's it all works out. And you know, it's just been,
you gotta put people in their place then. When they tap you on the shoulder.
Hey, just exactly. I mean, hey, I just like, Jeffrey, give me some love. What's up?
Well, see, when you first came up to me, I was like, oh, he has no black friends. He's trying to find, he's trying to find that one.
You're my first black friend. Yeah, I'll say that.
I'm so happy for you. I'll say that.
So, hey, we're branching out here in Utah. Is it 100? I thought I was paying you 150.
I'll take 150.
Come on now. What's up? What's
I'll take 150.
This guy's milking me.
So, Jace, tell us a little about yourself. Where are you from? What brought you out to Utah?
You grew up in Los Angeles, so a California boy at heart, and initially just came out to Utah really for school. And
okay.
Still at school right now, still at BYU, and it's been great. It's been a shift, but it's been a good shift. And, you know, I've met my friends for life out here, and I love Utah. Utah's been nothing but amazing things for me. So,
what year in school are you?
So I'm a senior. I'm graduating in April.
You excited to graduate?
Oh, ready to graduate.
Ready to be done?
Oh, man, it's been a grind.
Finally grow facial hair again?
Yeah, exactly. I can't even grow facial hair, though. If I could grow something like you, then I would. But,
I can,
you know, I'm a patchy boy, so it's just better to keep it clean.
Why BYU?
That's a great question. So I think initially I was actually at UVU because coming out of high school, was not a great student. I was like 2.8 GPA. First time taking the ACT, got like an 18, just was not super serious with the academics at all. And then I think when I came to UVU was awesome, loved it. And it was a reality check. It's like, hey, like, this is the world. You got to compete. You got to show yourself. You got to lock in. And I never thought like I could get into BYU. But my freshman year at UVU, I just kind of put my head down, you know, really just made that my main focus, was able to get, you know, a decent GPA and somehow got into BYU and initially wanted to go to BYU because really the business school. Just thought, I think that could be a good way to just, someone once told me to always load your slingshot in every opportunity of life. And I think the Y was just a great way for me to load my slingshot, meet great people, and be able just to prove to myself that, you know, I can do hard things and do things that I put my mind to.
So, I love that. Yeah. I quick sidebar. I graduated from UVU.
Yeah, you did.
I'm a Wolverine.
Yeah, you did.
At heart, I love UVU.
Hey, I'm still a Wolverine at heart, man. I love
you. Know,
you.
Once you go green, there's no going back. You're not a cougar. Wolverine would kill a cougar. I'm just letting you know.
I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
It's true.
It's true. Okay. Well, I'm sure too. Like, I've seen the talent over at UVU, and I'm sure the girls just weren't letting you out of their sight either. So come on now.
Hey, what can I say?
What can we say?
Utah Valley.
And you studied computer science, right?
So I started computer science.
Yeah.
For like a semester.
Okay.
Went on a mission, came back, and I was like, this is not me. So I switched into communications.
Oh, nice.
Took a class in public relations. I've had a professor named Phil Gordon that I absolutely loved.
Awesome.
Got me connected, took several of his classes, and I was like, this is my thing.
Gotcha.
And just fell in love. I mean, you know me, I never shut up. I talk to everybody.
This guy's always going. This guy, we go to the gym. This guy's talking to everybody.
I'm tied with you, but I was like, I can do my job, which is talking to people every day and networking, and just be me.
For sure.
And so it just, for me, it synced up, and it was a perfect fit. In UVU, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's almost, for me, it was like a giant version of high school.
Uh-huh.
like the hallways are all connected. You don't have to go outside in the winter if you don't want to.
Exactly. Exactly. I love the way that campus is set up.
Yeah.
Oh man. It's for the people.
Oh yeah.
For the people.
100%. And you know, the other thing people don't know about UVU, it's the biggest student body in the state of Utah.
That's right.
More students than BYU, than Utah.
Yeah.
And it's so diverse because you have people in their 50s who are coming into school. Uh-huh. You have kids from different states and everything. And I mean, it's open enrollment, if we're being honest.
For sure.
So like, you're getting into UVU.
No, but there's a lot of smart kids at UVU. Like, I don't think people should hate on UVU at all, because I think some of the smartest people I've met who actually ended up transferring were just at UVU initially. And I just, you know, or stayed at UVU. And also people who've graduated from UVU, guys who I know are killing it in, you know, business outside of college. Like, they're UVU grads. I really just think it's mindset.
Yeah.
You know, I think college, the best thing that it really can do. Of course, you can learn things, you know, through the courses and things like that. But it's really the network and the mindset that you adopt, those critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
I think that's what is really beneficial with college.
No, and I think that's huge. And I think I'm curious for you, because I've seen it with kind of your age group and stuff. There's a lot of kids dropping out of school or not going at all, because in a lot of, you know, jobs that you work, even mine, I've never ever, hey, here's my college degree.
Right.
It's been, you know, who do you know? Who are you connected to? And that's what's led to opportunities and for a career path for me. And so have you always told yourself, I'm going to graduate no matter what?
You know, the mindset I've just tried to adopt in my life is whatever I start, I want to finish, you know, because I just think it's super important just to see things through. And I think that's helped me a ton in my life, no matter what it's been. And since I started with college, I just always said, like, I'm always going to get a degree.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand why people don't do college. Like, you know, it can be expensive. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes people just know exactly what they want to do. That wasn't the case for me. And so I think it was like a good place to just be able to fail a lot. And I failed a lot. Like, oh my gosh. I kind of went through like the same similar situation as you. Like, was doing communications, like communications, switched, did accounting, was in the accounting program at BYU. And I thought that was like, I thought I had it made. And oh my gosh, like.
You're like, psych.
Psych. Like, probably the deepest valley I've been in since, you know, in my life. It was hard, and made that switch. And honestly, I just think it's super important to trust your gut and just kind of figure out, okay, like, what am I good at, but what also makes me happy? Because I know they say, like, you know, don't choose a job where, like, you're not passionate about. I have a hard time believing that. I think you can do something that you're passionate about if you really put your mind to it and apply yourself. Because, I mean, I don't think God put us on this earth just, you know, of course he wants to challenge us, but he wants us to have joy, right? And I think that's the most important part of just being on the spinning rock, is just finding the joy, you know, finding, you know, what the excitement that comes from just getting smashed in the jaw by life every day, you know, because it comes. But at the same time, there's a lot of mountains if you apply yourself and do what you got to do.
No, I love that. I think it's crucial. I remember there was a story Deion Sanders was talking about. He's about going fishing and getting away from the mundanes of life and the trials and the struggles and everything. And he's like, you can go and sit and fish and be by yourself and experience joy, happiness, sadness, everything. And guess what? You can go and catch nothing.
Exactly.
But you get that time to yourself where you can experience those emotions. And if you catch something, that's great.
Exactly.
You celebrate it. But if not, you're still having peace and you're getting away from everything.
Yeah.
And so it's that concept of, can you be happy when things don't go your way?
Absolutely. That's why they call it fishing, not catching.
Yeah.
So I agree with that 100%. I remember, I was fishing up like Provo River because all my Utah buddies, they kind of got me into fishing up here. And as I remember, I was like fishing alone by myself one day, and same thing, just wasn't catching anything. You're just like, what's wrong with me? And then this old guy just living the dream, just on a little, like, little floating, it wasn't even like a kayak. It was just like a floating mattress, I think. And he was just like paddling on it. He's like, catch anything? And I'm like, nope. And he's just like, well, that's why they call it fishing, not catching. And I'm like, I love that. That's a bar right there. So yeah, just I think that's super applicable to everything in life.
I love that quote.
Just keep going.
I'm gonna use that.
Hey, I think you should.
I know you're. That's why I like being around you. You be inspiring me with these little.
No, hey man, you're my inspo, bro.
These little ideas.
You're my inspo.
I I want to get a little deep on this episode. I hope you don't mind.
Let's go deep. Let's get the shovels out. Let's go. Okay. Come on.
So one of the first things when we met, because I remember you sent me this long message because I had flown out to LA and I landed and we get to the Hilton, we check in, the AC is not working.
Yeah.
Second room, AC is not working. And I am annoyed, pissed, trying to take a nap.
Ugh.
And then I get this long text because I remember one of the things I said to you is, I don't know how I worded it, but I said, you have a feminine energy.
Yes. Yes. I was like, really?
And you did not take that well whatsoever. And it wasn't me trying to insult you or throw shots.
No.
But I'm curious. I want to have your side of that.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, I think feminine, like, still doesn't sit right with me because I'm sure some guys could look at it as feminine. But I think what it really is, I mean, you kind of helped me kind of figure this out was, you know, I just feel things super deeply, you know, and what's the word for that? Sensitive.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that it's something that's a negative connotation because, listen, like, you know, back in the day, like, I was a Top G fan, you know, love Andrew Tate, like, you know, saw some Jordan Waller stuff. And I think those guys are, like, doing great things and, like, helping young men. But at the same time, like, I think the message was kind of, like, suppress your feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand what they're saying, but, like, at the same time, like, what you're feeling, like, I think you should listen to that, you know, because, you know, those are impressions that you're getting. And, you know, that could be in anything, you know, if it's interactions with people, if it's music, if it's, you know, business, you know, medicine, whatever it is. Like, I really think God has given us intuition for a reason. And I think one thing in my life that, you know, I was kind of struggling with is I would try to suppress that because, like you said, it can come off as feminine.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until recently since, like, you know, just kind of been doing, like, a lot of work with myself and, you know, been going to therapy, which has been awesome. And, it kind of realizes, like, hey, like, this can also be a superpower if you can really tap into it and learn how to bridle it and learn just how to kind of, you know, keep your emotions in check. And not that I was out of control, but, you know, I think, like, I would dwell on things for a little bit longer than maybe I needed to, but, you know, like, I think, honestly, Jeffrey, like, that's one reason why I just have so much love for you, because you kind of helped me, like, figure that out. And I was like, because you said that, and I remember just, like, going through YouTube, going through Reddit. I'm just like, okay, like, emotional man, like, what is this? Da-da-da-da-da. And it's just like, hey, like, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive. Da-da-da-da. And, you know, it answered, I think, a lot of questions in my life. So, hey, love you, brother.
Hey,
appreciate you for that.
We're prompted to say things for a reason.
Hey, exactly.
And the thing is, and I explained this to you, is I'm like, in a lot of ways, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I am an emotional wreck. like I told you today when we were working out, I mean, I have always had a severe anger problem.
Yeah.
And I've had to navigate those waters, especially when you find yourself being stronger by most people around you. You find yourself, you know, if I lose my temper certain places, I now look like a threat.
Yeah.
And there's consequences to follow.
Right.
And so, you know, also creating a space where, hey, my friends, my family can feel safe and comfortable around me,
right,
regardless of how I react to situations. And so,
yeah, for sure.
You know, and I've even had a few of my friends lately, they're like, Jeff, you're too emotional. And I'm like, it's not about being too emotional. It's about, I'm open to talk about how I feel. I'm open to connect with people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the whole concept of, can you tell a grown man, hey, I love you?
Absolutely.
A lot of time our society, you know, we're taught not to show emotion.
Yeah.
We're taught, hey, you can't say I love you. And I, in my coaching group, I got 49 other brothers. And every time I end a phone call or text, hey, I love you.
I always tell my boys I love them. Because I do love, like, dude, like, that's your tribe, right?
Yeah.
Those are your guys that, you know, helped kind of make you to what you are today. So love my boys. Absolutely.
No, I agree with you completely. I'm curious because something I've been working on lately, I watched a video. And the whole concept of is sometimes in our lives to progress, we have to subtract. For so much in my life, school, careers, building friendship, relationships, I've been adding.
Mm-hmm.
You meet new people, you add new friends.
Yeah.
You get more knowledge, you add. But I'm at the point right now, I'm like, okay, what thoughts or processes do I have to remove from my mind and subtract? Mm-hmm. But also, what people in my life do I need to subtract that aren't helping me either reach my potential or reach my goals? Or even align with my values.
For sure.
Now, I'm not saying everyone has to agree with the things I do or say, but there is a power in surrounding yourself with people that A, will call you into integrity if you're slipping up and not hitting your goals.
Yeah.
And B, are just honest with you.
For sure.
I don't want friends in my life that are fake and tell me the things I want to hear.
We need check, man, not yes, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. For sure. And so with your journey and getting to your senior year of college, going through therapy and all these things you're doing, do you find yourself in that same state or do you find yourself still just trying to pull and to add?
Honestly, I feel like the state I'm in, I'm just trying to add to my life, you know, because I think I'm just more in a place where the ground is cement. And I think it's just more of a place where, you know, I want to be able to meet people where they're at and be able to see people for what they can become. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are quick to pick up stones, especially here in Utah Valley. And I think it's important to kind of just like look at people and be like, hey, like, we all have our struggles, right? We're all not perfect. And like, I think it's super important just to be able to offer the hands, you know, not throw the pebble. And so I that's always been, you know, one thing that I've been consciously working on these days is just like, hey, like, you know, what is everyone's story? Cause everybody has a story. The more you get to know someone, the more you get to love them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, I've definitely been, you know, on the opposite end of that where it's just like quick to judge, but you know, that gets you nowhere. And also it's just, it leaves you to become more of a shell of a man.
Yeah.
And the best leaders and the strongest men that I know, I think they're guys that are just empathetic.
Yeah.
And they're guys that understand. The guys that have changed my life, at least, are like that. Because they're the ones that I can sit down with, have that conversation and be real. And they just listen.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, like, I get it. And like, here's what I would do, yada, yada, yada. And they, you know, maybe it's not always, you know, what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear.
Yeah.
And I think it's super crucial, especially in this day and age and like the stage of social media where you just get you can get so much information and get, you know, fire hosed all the time. It's super important that you set boundaries on what you take in.
Yeah.
And I think that's also been another thing that's really helped me. It's just like, hey, who's in my circle, you know, who's like at least with my inner circle, it's like, okay, like are these guys just like on the same page? And like, I'm not saying be perfect, but like, do we all have that mindset of just like that growth mindset, not a fixed mindset?
Well, so. And the other thing I noticed with you when we first connected is you had some walls up and some hesitation because of, I guess, past experiences with people.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Let's dive a little bit into that.
Let's go. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say wall. I mean, I guess it is walls, but yeah, you know, word gets around fast. You know, people talk, you know, people can judge you without even knowing you, I think. And I think it's super important just to kind of allow people to show themselves to you. You know, don't watch people by their words, but watch them by their actions.
Yes.
And I think that's just been one thing that, you know, I've been trying to do better. And as well as just kind of see with people around me, it's just like, okay, like we can say one thing, but like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are, you know, like I think growing it and, you know, just being able to develop, like it's a verb, you know, we got to act, we got to move. And I think it's all about the actions we take to overcome that. I know that's like not really going with your question, but I think the reason I had walls up too is just like, you know, I thought it was just better to kind of, you know, keep things just keep people at a distance, right? Because naturally, you know, I do think the natural man is an enemy to God. And so it's easy to be like, okay, like, I don't know where you're at. Like, I'm sure you can take this information and like twist it and use it on me. But I think that mindset's so negative and that mindset just doesn't allow you to really develop. And I think, you know, the one thing that's super important in my life is, you know, the three things that I've really been focusing on is just growth, virtue, as well as connection. And it's hard to connect with people at a surface level.
Yeah.
And what's a surface level is, you know, keeping people at bay. How do you bring them in is just saying, hey, like, listening, I know, just kind of hearing them out for where they're at and then being able just to be real, to be honest and just say like, hey, like, this has been my journey. And like, you know, that's in the past, but this is the goals and the ideas that we have going forward. And it's kind of important to just be able to sit there and say, hey, like, I'm with you regardless, you know, and I feel what you're going through. So,
no, I think that's crucial. I think it's big. I love that you're focusing on connecting. connecting within relationship and friendships. I'm curious on this journey of when you talk about connecting, and how has it been to learn to, I guess, connect with yourself?
That's a good question. I think it's just living boldly, you know, doing things that you haven't done, having conversations that you haven't had, because then you learn about yourself. Yeah. You learn about people. And I think that's just super important, is just taking risks, you know, run into the fire, run to pressure. Me and my buddy, Bo Tanner, we always talk about just like run to pressure, you know, or be a fireman, run to the fire. Because, I mean, listen, like the biggest asset we have on this life is time.
Yeah.
You know, like time is so important, how you spend it. And I just know the days where I'm just most fulfilled and just, you know, it's easier to look the man in the mirror is just when I said, I feel like I just used my time effectively. Yeah. It was serving people. It was connecting. It was like having myself grow, like internally and externally. Like it's, that's just the way to do it. You know, we're not here to be perfect. We're here to, you know, become the version of ourselves that we're capable of becoming. And so I think that's been it. It's just being bold, man. Being bold.
Being willing to stand out.
Yeah.
Amongst the crowd.
I wouldn't even say like trying to stand out, but just like, you know, doing things that, you know, not a lot of people do. And I don't think it's really like a complicated thing. It's just like people really just like don't sometimes care about other people as much. And it's sad because I think a lot of things play into that, but you know, I think it's just really doing just the simple things, and it's just loving your neighbor.
Yeah.
And just looking for ways to serve those that need it. So, yeah.
And it's, I think it's also balancing, because one of my biggest flaws, this is a crazy one to say, is sometimes I care too much, or I'll do too much.
Yeah. You do care a lot, and you can do a lot.
You know, I have to scale it back, because for some people, you know, it's new for them to have someone who cares about them. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's they have their walls up because they're like, okay, does he care about me this extent? Because he wants something or needs something?
Right.
Like, there's so many balancing features, and it's just like, no, I'm just...
No, I remember our Florida incident. I'm like, wait, what? Like,
I'm just giving
I'm like, gift. Jeffrey, what's up? And it's like, hey, but that's you, and that's what's been super cool is just, you know, how
big you're... Still should have come out to Florida for the week, but... That's a story for another time.
Hey, man. Just hope my guy, too, is doing well, you know, not dying on us.
That was insane to be there in person for that.
Yeah, because you were there for that, right?
Yeah. We sat down, like, two drives later.
Yeah.
With the concussion. And the whole energy in the stadium shifted.
Oh, I'm sure. Because he was, like, seizing up again, right?
Yeah.
Wow, crazy.
And once he went out, they're like, oh, this game's over.
And what do you do? Just cooked him. What do you do if you're his dad?
Time to retire.
You think
take
so?
The money you have and retire. I mean, it's not worth the health complications. I mean, I've had 12 concussions in my life.
12?
And the last one.
Did you play ball in high school? You're playing football?
So, mainly through rugby. Oh. I got my last one playing pickup basketball at Utah Valley.
Oh, that's right. You were talking about that. Yeah. Pool of blood. There we go.
And it's, you know, the last one, I had a tremor in my hand. It messed up some stuff with my brain. Because I remember there was a short circuit. It's gone away, but I felt like I had to go to the bathroom every 20 minutes, even though I didn't have to.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I took my dad over to India for Father's Day. We went to go see the Taj Mahal.
Right.
And that long, and I don't use bathrooms on planes. And that was miserable. Because even if I didn't have to go, I felt like I had to go.
Yeah.
It's like, get up. It's just the most miserable time.
Really?
And, you know, I loved playing rugby. I still would have played, but... The mind.
You could be on the All Blacks right now, man.
The mind is willing, but the body is not.
Absolutely.
And it's time. And so now I just lift to try and stay in shape.
For sure.
Try and be like you.
Far beyond, brother.
And enjoy the gym.
Yeah. Gym's good.
So I want to talk a little bit about one of the first time I met you.
Yeah.
We worked out together.
Yeah, we did.
And you brought me this.
I did.
So explain this necklace that you gave me.
Yeah, so that is our Risen necklace. So that is something that I've been working on, a project that, you know, my father was the initial one that said, hey, like, or let me backtrack, sorry. So I had the idea coming off my mission because I'm into jewelry, you know, I like looking good, feeling good, and I noticed that like a lot of, you know, members of the church or Mormons don't like wearing the cross. And I'm like, okay, like there's a niche here, you know, and especially that, I think that next conference when it was like 2020, October 2020, you know, they introduced the new logo. And I'm like, boom, you know, Chrysis on a chain. Let's go. And also, I just think it was something that was like important at the time too, like, or, and still is, but it was something that I feel like could resonate with a lot of people, because the cross, we respect it. It's necessary for the atonement to happen. But the most important part is that he rose again.
Yeah.
And I think that's such an important message that us Christians kind of fail to remember, is that, hey, he's alive. He's with us. You know, he's always ready to rock with us. And that was the main purpose, was just for people to have a remembrance on something that they can wear with their daily apparel, that, hey, like, your big brother has you, you know, he's with you. And it's been a really special project. You know, it's had its ups and downs, just like what entrepreneurship can be. And there's definitely been times when I had my doubts, but lately it's just been resonating with a lot more people. And so it's just been something that's been really fun and cool to see grow over the years. And
where can people find the necklaces?
Yeah, so our Instagram is The Risen Shop. And we're also on TikTok and Pinterest. You can find us at The Risen Shop. And we also have a website at therisenshop.com. So we're everywhere. We're everywhere we're going to go. And we got bracelets on the way for the boys. They're a little bit more masculine, and I'm a big fan of these. I think these will, I think the people will like them. And I like them a lot. And I think they're unique and just a good remembrance of, you know, why we're here, you know, and that we have the opportunity to build a new version of ourselves. And so that's been the main idea with Risen.
I'm excited to see the bracelets.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't showed you yet, right? Or have I? Okay. I'll need to show you right after this, but they're sweet. It's kind of tough. They're being built right now. We had to send a few back because the prototypes just weren't really meeting expectations. So, you know, we've really focused on, like, you know, creating something that's good, that's quality, and that just kind of stands out. And so they're on the way right now, and we're excited for this drop because we think it'll be a good drop.
Awesome.
Yeah. So looking forward to it. But perfect.
Well, hey, I will give this, the first person that comments Risen on this podcast on YouTube or Instagram, I will comp you a necklace.
Really? Hey, I'll double that offer. Okay, let's go.
Okay,
let's go.
Okay, I'll one male, it. One female.
One male, one female.
Okay,
boom.
Let's do it
for the people, baby.
Perfect.
Let's go.
That's why one of the things I love about you is your willingness to give, your willingness to serve. So it's a good example to me because, you know, I love to give, but it's rare and far in between that you see a lot of other people that same way. Well, I think one of the things I struggle in Utah, especially in the door-to-door industry, there's a lot of take and give me.
Yeah, there's some take giving. And some give me. There's a lot of good guys in the door-to-door, but I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, not everyone does that, but.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to retain loyalty, I'll say, for sure. So, no, without a doubt. You did door-to-door?
Short and brief, and I'll never do
it. was it security or what was it?
It was Vivint.
Oh, Vivint, okay.
But I have
drinks, actually.
Quite a bit of friends. I mean, the majority of my basketball group are all door-to-door guys.
Oh, really?
All different companies, and I love these guys and everything. But I tell them, don't ever try to recruit me. Don't ever bring the recruiting to the basketball. You know, everyone has their hustle and their grind and what they do, and some of them are really successful and made a ton of money in it, but it's just not something that I've ever enjoyed.
And like I said, you know, you got to do what makes you happy. If you don't enjoy
it. Now, you've done door-to-door before, right?
I have. I've done a little bit. I'm not like, you know, any of these gurus out here that can really kill it, but honestly, I think there's a lot of good lessons in it for sure. And have been a lot of great guys through door-to-door, so I mean, I would definitely recommend it to my son because I think it just makes you a man.
Yeah.
You know, you get out there, you get door slammed in your face. I mean, hey, that's one of the hardest jobs on this planet. So
can they get that experience from doing door-to-door sales or from get the same experience from serving a full-time mission?
I would say both. I want to say door-to-door, I think, is harder, in my opinion. I think the mission, that's your religion, right? So I think you kind of have a better why. door to door, I mean, you know,
they get a Tesla.
Yeah, it's a little bit more materialistic, right? Yeah. And I mean, hey, like we all got our materialistic goals. I know I have mine, but I think, you know, it's definitely, I've noticed, I think when I focus more on like my own material gains, I think that's when I'm not as happy.
Yeah.
I'm definitely more happy when it's just like, hey, like, how can I help, you know, those around me? And so I think the mission was, it's just one of the highest highs you'll experience. You know, it's a super hard time, but I think a super special time. And, you know, you enjoyed Ghana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's where you were.
It was my best, two of the best years of my life.
Yeah. Was it the Accra mission?
So it was Ghana Accra.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then halfway through they split and made Ghana Accra West.
That's right.
But I stayed in Ghana Accra. I'm original.
Yeah.
GA.
I think this guy was like an AP for like 3/4 of his mission, right?
No, I was one of the bad. I was one of the bad.
This guy was wild. Jeffrey, elder man, was hey, got to keep an eye on him.
So when I got on my mission, there was a connotation that if you get sent out, it's called the bush. It was the far areas. The missionaries were the bad missionaries. And I spent my last year and a half in the same area, out in the bush.
Wow.
Away from the mission home. And I loved it. I loved the town I was in. And, you know, I became one amongst the people. I started to pick up the language and just immersed myself into the culture. I mean, and I'm a big fan of Paul. And one of the things I always loved about that he taught is, to the Jews I became a Jew, to the weak I became weak. He never went to a city and tried to force them to be like him.
Yeah.
He became like the people, and then he was able to reach their hearts. And even when you look at when Paul taught in the cities he went to, he would quote the local like poets and people there, because he knew these are the people that they respect and they listen to.
Yeah.
How do I reach their hearts?
Uh-huh.
Let me share their information with them.
For sure.
And then add on what I know to be true.
I love that.
And so that's kind of the way I did my mission. And it's kind of the way that I do my job and I live my life today.
Yeah.
I have so many different friends of age groups and races and cultures and all sorts of things.
Yeah, you do.
And I find myself in that chameleon state because I can switch it on when I'm at the gym and I'm greeting three different people.
Yeah.
And I'll greet them all differently and interact with them all differently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I know, hey, I need to be super, you know, straightforward and to the point with this person. This person I can let loose. And
no, I love that you bring that up, because I think being a chameleon's always had a negative connotation. I think it's a skill. Because, I mean, people say, oh, like, it's fake, it's inauthentic. But I think being authentic, it's not like, you know, you're held to a light and, like, people can see right through you. It's being able to, like, see people for where they're at and being able to adjust. I think, you know, as long as you're still yourself, like, I think it's something that's super beneficial for society. Because, you know, I think that's honestly a superpower that you have, is being able to just go in there, see people, catch a vibe, catch a, you know, an energy thing, and then be able to, like, you know, adjust and make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I just love that you said that, because I've kind of gotten that tag too. It's just like being a chameleon, but at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with
it's how you reach people.
It's how you reach people.
Yeah. 100%. Not one person is alike to another.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's being willing to adjust. And, you know, so I find myself in situations, I call it, you have to pivot, you have to accept, you have to adjust, and you just move forward with the situation you find yourself in.
Gotta pivot.
I want to shift the focus a little bit. So you served a mission. Where did you serve again?
So I was in the Uganda Kampala mission.
Okay.
For 17 months, and then COVID hit, and then I finished in Georgia. And
you speak Swahili at all?
No Swahili, unfortunately.
What language did you pick up?
There's a lot of Luganda, and then so my mission was like Rwanda, Uganda, Ethiopia, Djibouti, but you weren't allowed to go there, and South Sudan. And South Sudan was like in a civil war, so we didn't go there. But I was
so just, that means next week we need to eat some chapatis for dinner.
Let's go to chapati.
Beef stew.
Get some Rolex going.
Okay,
come on.
If you can still handle it.
No, I can handle that. I think it was the injera in Ethiopia that just wrecked your boy. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that stuff. That was a long 10 months. Great 10 months, but. Yeah, food-wise, it was tough.
So how long were you in Africa before?
17 months.
Okay, and then COVID?
Yeah, and then COVID hit, and then I was in Georgia, Atlanta. And I've told people this. I think stateside was a lot harder for me than serving in Africa. It was, stateside was more of a grind.
Was it because more distractions?
Yeah, I mean, it was COVID, right? So, like, you're kind of locked in your room, and that... initially that was super hard, and you're doing Facebook videos, and at that time, like, I'm like, I don't want to be, like, you know, posting my mission, like, because
yeah,
I think the mission's like a sacred experience, yeah, you know, and like you kind of like something's hold dear to you. And you know, I just always enjoy just like, you know, just being off the map and just being able to like focus severely on that without having like, you know, too many people tuned in from back home. And also like it was just a little bit more just strict, right? And not that I was like a wild missionary, like I tried my best, but I just didn't like having a ton of authority, you know, and a ton of eyes on me all the time. Like it just felt like I was always being watched. Africa is just like, hey, like, you're out here, man. Like,
here's your fine. Calling. Go
exactly,
and
do. Exactly. But but towards the end, like I met awesome people. My guy Tom out there in Georgia, and you know, I learned a lot of important lessons.
What was your biggest takeaway from your mission?
I think the biggest takeaway from my mission was that there's a God. You know, like you cannot tell me that there's not a God. There's a God, and Jesus Christ lives. Like, I saw miracles out there, and I think that was the most important part of serving a mission, was just knowing that there is a higher power.
Yeah.
And also too, just, you know, people are beautiful, you know, in their own way. Like, I think, like I mentioned earlier, just the more time you spend with people, the more you get to know them, and just everyone's so interesting. Like, if you can really ask the right questions and, you know, actually like be interested in people's lives, like you'd be like you can always learn something from somebody, anybody. And I think that's just the one thing, is just, you know, life's all about asking questions, not really running your tongue. You know, I think that's been the most important part of my mission. What would you say for you?
I had already lived in Africa for 5 years before I left on my mission.
Was it 5 years?
I had lived in Zimbabwe for 2 years. Well, my dad did humanitarian work. I was baptized there. Cool. When I was in middle school, my dad was called as a mission president to South Africa.
Uh-huh.
So I lived there for 3 years.
Wow.
And then, so I got my mission called to Ghana, West Africa. And, you know, I got there. And one of my struggles was, and you went through this, is you're in a third world country.
Yeah.
The people are different.
People are
The sights
different.
Are different. The smells are different. The culture is different.
Yeah.
And I remember I was sitting in my apartment and... one of the conference talks that President Monson gave at the time was, we need to see others not as they are present, but as they can become.
Mm-hmm.
And that shifted my whole mindset on,
for sure,
they're in this current state that they're in,
but
this isn't how they can become.
Yeah.
And so for me, that kind of shifted how I went about on my mission and the way I talked and communicated to the people and everything. And I loved it. I remember I stopped by his little hut, and this guy named Frank. I love Frank.
Yeah.
And run down little hut. His wife was there, but he gave us, you know, the little African crackers and the malt drink.
Yeah,
and
we
sat there, and he learned all of the, we went through the lessons. He ended up getting baptized. And for like the next 3 months, he would bring people and sit them at his hut and wait for us to come and teach. So we didn't have to track or anything. We would just go to his place every time, and he had someone, and he would teach them the little that he would know and everything. But that man was amazing.
That's the best.
Yeah. And so, you know, I love my mission. It was, you know, it was challenging because I was out there when they did the whole age change.
Oh, were you?
Getting a bunch of 18-year-olds from Idaho, Utah, Montana, California, who had never been away from home. You take them to Africa and you put them in areas where you may not have electricity.
Right.
All week long.
So you saw some kids struggle.
You may not have running water. My first companion I got that was 18, ended up, he was getting sick, couldn't do the food, went home.
Uh-huh.
Next companion I got that was 18, one of my favorite companions, Zach Fawcett from St. George, Utah.
Zach Fawcett.
And he got there, and for the first maybe 2 or 3 weeks, we went to one of the local hotels so we could get American food. Because he could not eat the local food.
Oh, dude, it's a struggle out there. It's a grind.
And, you know, but I loved the experience. And it was a battle because a lot of the African missionaries were late 20s. You pair them with an 18-year-old. There's a lot of stuff to learn.
They're playing
You're washing
Papa.
Your clothes by hand, and you know, you're cooking on your own.
Right.
You know, mom and dad aren't there to pick up your clothes or cook for you.
Oh, man.
And so it's this new concept of, hey, this is real life. Uh-huh. But guess what? You can live real life. You don't have bills to worry about. You don't really have these expenses that you have at home.
Uh-huh.
You can do all these things. Go preach the gospel. Come home and do it again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so my mission was an experience. And I think the last thing, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my parents were test driving a self-reliance program for the church.
Oh, were they?
And about a year in, I got a call, and my parents were actually assigned to Ghana, where my mission was. So I remember walking to the mission home, and my mom drove by. Or being in a training, and my parents are three rooms down teaching.
How was that? Was that hard?
Having missionaries, hey, your parents just took us out to eat. And I will say my mission president did allow my dad. I was his own leader at the time, and he allowed my dad to take my zone to lunch on my birthday.
That's awesome.
My parents came up. And
that's a good man.
I will say my mom never came to any of my apartments, and I'm glad she didn't.
Is she a bit of a mama bear?
It would have been hard to see some of those states that you're living in. You're getting your water from a well. You know, it's not the cleanest apartment.
You got the jerry cans, you know, rocking and rolling. Mm-hmm. And it's oh man, best place to serve without a doubt.
So I'm curious because I feel like, you know, on our mission, your testimony grows and it's impacted, or some kids get a testimony for the first time. But I'm curious for you going from a mission to real life to BYU and the nuances and the struggles that come with that. How has your testimony grown since?
I think, man, it's definitely grown. Because listen, like, I served my mission and I love my mission, and I came back, and you know, like we all do, I've made my mistakes, and I think it was through experiencing that time period. You know, I think, you know, definitely the mission helps with, you know, making you understand just the tools that you can need to be at your spiritual best. But I think, like, I really kind of found my testimony. I found it on my mission, but after my mission was when I really experienced just the joy of the gospel, because then that's when you're really choosing to say, like, hey, like, this is the way I want to live my life. And especially, like, you know, going through some experiences that set me back and, you know, brought me down to probably some darker places. The one thing that got me out of that was God, you know, and the gospel. And I think those experiences were super necessary in order for me to just realize, like, hey, like, this is where your happiness lies. This is where the best version of yourself lies. And I needed that because I know some kids, like, they just get that from day one. For me, it's been a journey. And I think, you know, faith really is something that we have to work on and be intentional with and exercise. And I've just, you know, I think true doctrine understood really changes behavior better than anything else can, you know, because I've seen it not only in my own life, but, you know, people around me. I've seen guys, you know, go from Saul to Paul, you know, just then and quickly because they've allowed God to work in their lives. Yeah. And I think that's just been the coolest thing. And especially at BYU, I know BYU gets some flock, but it's been such a great place to go to school because, you know, all these kids are smarter than me. You know, they're kids that I just, like, respect because, you know, they're just so talented in their own way. And it's also a place where you just can kind of just be open and, you know that, like, hey, like, this is a place where you're safe and you can just focus on growing yourself. And that's been, I don't think I would have done it any other way. And so I think for me, it was super necessary in order for me to just become a better man. And I think other people, like, they can go and, you know, go to other schools, like, outside of the state and whatnot. But I think for me personally, I think God's just like, hey, like, you need to be at BYU mm-hmm. because this is what's going to help you, you know, be the man that I need you to be. And so I forever indebted to the Y and just the people I've met and, you know, just the changes that I've been allowed to make in my own life. So, yeah.
And I'm proud of you on your journey. Growing,
we're all on our journey, learning. Man. We're all on our journey. You know, still got a lot to figure out, but you know, it's we like where we're going. So,
but the amazing thing I think about the gospel, about building your tribe and your friend group, is you're not on this journey alone. There's people there that can walk with you, can struggle with you. I love a quote I heard. I said, you have, when you know you have your drive, you have people who are willing to step in the rain with you and get wet. Yeah. And they could remain totally dry.
Exactly. Exactly.
They have no reason to get wet with you, but they choose to step into that.
What do you think about the quote, "Nobody's coming to save you"?
You know, a kid that I love, this kid, he's like a little brother, son, whatever. He said that to me yesterday. I took him lunch. He's like, "No one's coming to save me." But he said the full phrase.
Watching too much Grant Cardone, huh?
I think, here's the thing. I think that concept is true and it's not. And I say it's true because when you say no one's coming to save me, God is there and he's waiting for you to come and speak to him. Mm-hmm. He's your father. You have the opportunity to pray to him. Yeah. And if you choose not to, that's on you.
Right.
I always tell people, when I die, I want God to recognize my voice by the conversations I've had with him here on earth. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is, whether you're struggling with your faith, your fitness, your finances, all the things to help you be successful and achieve what you want is out there.
Yeah.
Are you going to go and grab it?
Right.
Are you going to go invest in yourself? Are you going to take the time? So really, is someone going to come and pick you off the floor? No, not necessarily. Jesus has already gone through all the trials that you're going to face.
Yeah.
He suffered for us already.
For sure.
He's done that part. Now it's up to us.
Right.
And we can sit and be lazy and just
look, chill.
Yeah, just chill.
Yeah.
Or we can dive in. We can study. We can better ourselves. We can gain knowledge. We can work at it and go after what we want to achieve.
Absolutely.
So in reality, is anyone coming to save you? Yes and no. That's the way I have to look at it. And,
I like that.
You know, I'll jump on a plane and fly anywhere to help a friend.
I believe but that.
He better ask and tell me, hey, I'm struggling. I'm in need.
Yeah.
I need help. I will do anything I can to help that person. But we're not all mind readers. It's
absolutely.
Not X-Men. We're not Professor X. We can't jump into people's minds.
Right, like we talked about, it's connection. It's communication.
Yeah.
Right, it's, you know, being open and saying, "Hey, like, struggling." So
be honest.
Be honest.
No one's perfect. We all have demons. We're all battling something.
We all do.
And it's just being willing to be vulnerable about it. I'm curious. The last thing I wanted to ask you is, we don't know when it's checkout time, when God calls us back.
Never know.
So for you, what's the one thing you want people to remember you for?
I just want people to know that I cared. You know, I definitely think there's some relationships that I probably could have handled better. And, you know, there's still relationships that I know even today that, you know, I'm still working on strengthening. But I think the most important thing is that, you know, knowing that, hey, like, I could call Jace and he's picking up and he's there for me and he cares. And I think that's the most important thing about this life, is just the relationships we build. You know, of course, it's important to focus on your career and, you know, focus on you and take care of your fitness. But, you know, what's the point of, you know, being healthy and ready and smart if you can't be able to use that to help other people?
Yes.
And so I think just knowing that, hey, like, Chase was someone who just just cared, you know, just wanted to see people win. Because I do want people to win. It makes me happy seeing my guys eat. It makes me super happy seeing my guy get bigger every time I see him. And, you know, just always just walking around the gym, knowing everybody and wanting to help everybody, because I think that's what it's all about. So what would you say?
For me, it'd be Jeff gave more than he took.
Love that.
And whether it doesn't need to be material, it could be my heart, my soul, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I gave more than I took. That's the, if people remember me by that, and if that's what everyone says at my funeral, I've lived a good life.
Absolutely.
I've served my purpose.
For sure. No, hey, brother, you've been doing that. You've been doing that, so keep going.
I appreciate it.
Make sure to take care of yourself.
Appreciate you making time to come sit down with me. I'm sure you had a million date options.
No, I got zero.
Girls to go see.
I got zero. Hey, just appreciate you having a no name come on the podcast, right? And be able to just
don't
just
know
talk
your
live.
Name now, trust me. So thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
I want to, this is going to be off the podcast, but I wanted to walk you through a concept. I was thinking about you last night in a non weird way.
But, yeah, Jeffrey. Hey. Pause. Explain that.
So I was just thinking about kind of stuff that you were talking about and battling and everything.
Yeah.
And your experience and the whole concept of we focus on what we choose to focus on. So I want you to look around this room. Look at everything that has red. Okay, close your eyes. I want you to tell me what in this room has brown.
I would say the walls have a hue of brown. Also, the color of my guy's skin. It's a great milk chocolate, right? Come on now, I got you there.
Okay, so open your eyes for a second. So there was brown all around you, right?
There was, yeah.
But I keyed you on to focus on something.
Yeah.
And that's what you chose to focus on. That's where all your attention went to. And you tuned everything else out.
Yeah.
Now, also, if you look at the, I wouldn't necessarily say that's the hue of brown, but we'll pick and choose something close to what we want to focus on.
Yeah.
Because we refuse to fail.
Right.
We refuse to lose.
Right.
So as soon as, you know, you're thinking, what's the close? Okay, that's close. It's not brown, but I'm going to say it is because I don't want to fail.
Right.
And yeah. So it's just this concept of we live in this world where there's amazing people around us, people we can connect to every day.
Mm-hmm.
But because of how they may be or look, we don't give them the time of day. We don't see them.
Absolutely.
And we choose not to focus on it. So this is my challenge to you as my friend.
I love that.
Is you have the personality to connect to millions of people, but there may be people that you just don't see because mm-hmm. your focus is on something else.
I love that.
Take the time to talk to everybody.
Yeah,
regardless.
That reminds me of a quote from my entrepreneurship class freshman year. Casey Baugh was talking about this, and he's like, I think the one thing I wish I would have done differently during my college experience was hang out with guys that I would never hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always remembered that. He's like, you know, if you're a jock, go hang out with the guy that's more nerdy. If you're a nerd, you know, take the risk, go up to someone who's just more of a jock, you know, and you never know.
Yeah.
Like what people are going through and like what they could, you know, bring to your life, you know, personality wise, knowledge wise, you know, just business wise, like you just never know. And so I love that. Yeah. I think that goes hand in hand with kind of what you were talking about. So
I appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
Well, thank you,
You're my guy. You're my guy.